Det här är Hundeshuspodden och mitt namn är Jörgen Danielsson.
So you're going to have a seminar about the interactive play.
Yes.
But could you please first just tell us a little about you?
Hundeshus gästas av den internationellt erkända hundtränaren och instruktören Craig Ogilvy. Till Hundeshus Play kommer han den 4 maj live online. Han kommer att hålla fysiska workshops för Hundeshus Stockholm den 2-4 juni och Hundeshus Göteborg den 5-6 juni. Jag fick ett samtal med honom om bland annat the interactive play.
About me. So, well, my history with dogs is a little bit different, I guess. My granddad was a police dog handler when I was a little boy. So I was always infatuated with police dogs when I was a child. And my granddad was my dad. My granddad was the person that brought me up from a little boy. He's not with us anymore. God bless him. But he was the person that sort of raised me. So I became really interested with police dogs when I was a little boy. And then we had like his service dogs up until he retired. And then when I got to about 17, I sort of took the step away from having our family dogs and got my own, like my own German Shepherd, which is where the independent training journey began, I guess. From there, like I become really interested in working sports. And I went on to meet one of my first mentors who took me to and from Europe to learn to wear the costume for ring sport. Mondio ring particularly consists of obedience, agility and criminal apprehension, which is the biting portion of the sport, and a large amount of the points are for the biting. So I spent a lot of time traveling to and from Europe, sort of training dogs and also wearing the costume in competition. I was the first person from the UK to license to wear the costume in competition, which I was super pleased to do when I was younger. It was over 10 years ago now I did that. So quite some time ago. And when I was in Europe, it just continued to build, Jorgen. Like from getting the first German Shepherd, my understanding and study into behavior become really quite intense. And then when I got to go to Europe, a lot of the behavioral principles that I'd learned, I was putting into play when I was training the dogs, which made me a little bit different because I was seeing all of the little communications, body language, behavior markers, etc., whilst I was training the dogs to bite, which is where the premise of interactive play come from. Once I'd finished wearing the costume, I come back to Europe, to England rather. I didn't live in Europe. I was just traveling back and forth, but I stayed in England and I worked for Wiltshire Police as a general purpose police dog training instructor, whilst also delivering seminars. And the way that interactive play come about is the dogs that bite, or the dogs that are gifted with their genetic influence on behavior, they bite, Jorgen. It doesn't matter that they bite. They have the way that they bite is what you're focusing on, but they have no problem with biting things. But the dogs that were a little bit more sensitive or weren't quite so talented with regards to their genetic influence on behavior, it would be very commonplace that those dogs would be considered perhaps not good enough to do the sport. So I really started to apply the behavioral principles from what I understood from behavior and working on behavior mod at home, which is what I was doing. And then working to help build the dogs through biting, which is all of the principles for interactive play. So although play is based around biting a toy, I always say the costume is just a big tuggy toy. You're just a person in a tuggy toy and you're teaching the dog to do a series of play tricks with the person in the costume. And I very quickly realized that the principles that I was doing for like whilst wearing the costume worked really well with the cases and the students that I was working on at home. So I took the principles, I put them into play. I was then very, very fortunate to be invited to go and teach for an agility instructor working around play motivation, because I was traveling and doing lots of biting seminars in the UK for different biting sports. But then I got invited off of the back end of that to go and do some work with agility dogs to help build motivation, confidence, etc., which was the rise. Like a lot of from there I did, God, I must have done hundreds if not thousands of workshops now. I'm traveling all over the world. I've been very, very fortunate. And it's all based around confidence building, motivation, relationship building with the handler, and really like coming away from the dogma of a dog must play in this particular way. I really try to embrace like the individuality of the dog and try to make sure that the play is adjusted to suit them. And really honing into the fact that play is a reinforcer rather than something that a dog is just supposed to do. Because you see such a massive gap, even in like the sports and the training world, of my dog either plays or my dog doesn't play. And that there's no in between. It's either the dog plays or doesn't play. And a great deal of my professional life has been worked around helping those dogs, building their motivation and really giving them a activity that they can interact with their handler, with their caregiver, and to further enhance the relationship, but also the motivation for training and activities that the handler finds favorable. That was a long introduction. I'm sorry.
great. What will we learn here at during this the interactive play?
What we'll learn how to do is to manipulate the reinforcement process to suit the individual. So typically on workshops like this, we get an array of different individuals. A large part of my work is also based around solving problem behaviors, Jorgen, as you know. So I work with a lot of dogs of which what I would call first world problem dogs. So they've got like lots and lots of energy. They're redirected biting. They're struggling with regards to non-adaptive arousal. And then I get lots of dogs that are super sensitive and really struggling to build any type of motivation whatsoever. And the benefit of the workshop being is manipulating the reinforcement process really to suit the individual. But a lot of the time, it's not the case that you just have to suit the dog. You also have to suit the handler. So sometimes we'll have a dog that is like a Formula One race car and perhaps a handler that has a little bit of a mobility issue and they can't run around that they would like to. And that's where I really like to adjust the process so that that individual can share exactly what they want to with their dog, really adapt the reinforcement process so they can have just as much fun together, but not be in a position in which they would experience the problematic behaviors that would typically occur. Because for a lot of those dogs, people try to suppress that genetic influence on behavior, all of the motivation that they've got, they're trying to keep them calm all of the time, which is obviously massively beneficial. But for lots of those dogs, they need that outlet because it is part of their genetic buildup, which is what I try to get people to understand. So we'll very much learn how to manipulate the reinforcement process based around toy play to suit the individuals, both the dogs and the handlers as well.
So yeah, should you say that the biggest challenge here is that we are, in one way, my dog and I are not the same level of the energy. Even if I couldn't stand there jumping, if she's sure. jumping, but we need in some way to get on the same level.
Balance, yes, when people say it's really common, and it's one of my pet hates when a trainer says to somebody, "You need to be more exciting," like because it's not clear enough information, Jorgen. Like it's not. I'm very data driven and I'm very results driven. When I give somebody instruction, I like them to know I want you to do exactly this to make that better. And if I've got somebody. I have Malinois. Like I've had them for a long period of time. I'm never going to be as energetic as a Malinois for all of the love in the world. But what I can do is like adjust the reinforcement process so that it really suits the individual and give the handlers clarity with regards to introducing the game, but more specifically so once they've introduced the game, being able to use it as a reinforcer. Because a lot of the people are so scared to take like the lid off of the pot and let the arousal out. Because they're so worried about it escalating. But like a large part of my adult life has been spent on sort of making friends with that little devil. If you think about the arousal being as the little devil on the dog's shoulder, rather than trying to get rid of him all of the time, because he's always going to come back, I make friends with him. I give him a really clear, refined outlet and job to do, and then put in all of the parameters of control so that the dog's in a position in which they can build their ability to communicate and perform in an escalated state of arousal. And then for those dogs that are really struggling, which are like the complete opposite end of the scale, whereas they're worried about the environment, you know, they're struggling with regards to the confidence to engage, to bite onto things, we manipulate the process so that those little dogs can build confidence and they can lead into engaging in more of a arousing reinforcer or a arousing outlet.
Yeah, you have a chapter in your book about also energy, about yes. how you see upon yourself energy and how much that will
influence the dog.
Yeah, influence the dog.
Yes. And it's very much the case that It is the way that the person executes the task in front of them. So if somebody says to me, I often get people come along to workshops and they'll say, like, their body language will be down. And they'll be like, oh, God, Craig, the dog doesn't play. And I'll say, oh, show me what you do to play. They get the toy. Mm-hmm. They wiggle it in the dog's face and they go, look, he's not interested. And because they've convinced themselves, Jorgen, that the dog isn't going to play. So what they're going to immediately see is the first sign of the dog not doing it. As where for me, I'm looking at objective data. I'm looking at a dog in front of me and I'm manipulating the process. And if the dog shows me just a little bit, I'm going to reinforce it and make it feel wonderful so that I get the next little bit and the next little bit and the next little bit. And it's not magic. It's just understanding to put play into place without socially pressuring. And that's unfortunately what happens so often. People will say to me, I've been told I need to be more exciting by my instructor. And that means wiggling for them. They try to wiggle the toy in the dog's face and bash it off of the floor and ask the dog if it's ready. And I've seen so many dogs, Jorgen, that the person gets the toy out of their pocket. And if the dog could speak, it would say, God, not again. I've got to get out. Must show signs of stress and disengagement because they've tried to be more energetic, but that's actually to the detriment of the animal. And that's where the two principles of what I spend like a great deal of time doing, problem behaviors and working on behavior modification, mm-hmm. and play, interaction, arousal, and escalating arousal come together so well. Because once we understand the profile or the behavior profile of the animal, you can then adjust to suit the animal's individual needs and really giving the owner the key to the box to do that consistently. Because I've had so many people that have come along and they've gone, oh, the dog has never played with anything whatsoever. And they've convinced themselves it's not a possibility. So they're not even looking into the remit of, could my dog do this? Is this possible?
Couldn't it just be the 4th of May, like tomorrow or something like that? This will be great. I'm so glad that you said yes to be with us.
It would be my pleasure, Jorgen. I met your wife when I was teaching in Norway.
Yeah.
She was very, very complimentary. She really enjoyed the workshop.
Yeah, she did.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to come along and deliver it for you guys. That's no problem at all.
Right. Thank you, Craig, and see you at 4th of May.
It'll be here in no time.